though wise men at their end, no dark is right. Because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 26 of the Midcasters. I'm your co-host Jalen, joined by the always amazing
Craig.
And today we got loads of news for you, and maybe just a week old type of news, but we wanted to wait until after CinemaCon to talk about it. The chair fiasco. And to be honest, that's what they should rename Doomsday, don't you think, Craig? Just rename it Chairs Day.
That is very accurate. And I didn't even know about it until a friend of the podcast, a friend of ours named Katie, mentioned it in the group chat. And I didn't even know they were doing a live stream, but I just didn't have time to watch Chairs for 2 hours.
It was kind of like 5 or 6 hours, but they were like every like 10 or 15 minutes, they would move to the next chair. And I'm like, I wonder like what the significance of that time period is. Like, why not just do it all in one? And it was kind of a letdown, to be honest.
I think that the problem is they're banking on people's nostalgia to sell Avengers Doomsday. And instead of trying to build up a cohesive story, because it comes out next year and everything feels so rushed.
Do you think maybe this is their opportunity to finally put the old past behind them so they can finally move on and close that door?
I really hope so, because they definitely need to start fresh. They need a rebrand. You guys, if you can hear that, it's thundering where I am currently at. But yeah, they need a rebrand, something new, something fresh, because
you
can't keep continuing to bank off of people's nostalgias with a mediocre story.
Which is what I like what they did with the newer X-Men movies, is because they got new people in to play these characters, which I appreciated. Justice for Jean Grey and Sophie Turner, because I really loved her as that character. But maybe this is them finally putting that to bed and them having, I would assume that the X-Men are in a different universe from the Avengers, because we would have heard about them by now, or maybe not, who knows. But some notable names missing from the chairs, which I know they're not done announcing. Jean Grey, where is she? Wanda, Captain Marvel, Storm. I mean, like, Storm meeting Thor would have been so funny to me.
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I think that Elizabeth Olsen, she doesn't really need it at this point. I would love to see her, you know, I would love to see them capitalize on her and the whole Magneto father thing. But
well, they have the old Magneto, so there's always an opportunity. And I don't know when they're going to announce the next bunch of people and how long that will take.
Yeah.
But only 5 women have been announced. And one notable mention that I say is missing is Taskmaster. Where is this bitch? I don't think she dies in the movie. I really don't. And this is my theory. It's like, she's in all this promo, right? She's a part of the team. Maybe she is a bigger part of the movie than we actually realize.
Or she could be in the follow-up, because they did do that. There are some people that they didn't announce that a lot of people were kind of scratching their head about.
I agree. Maybe they're going to wait until after the movie comes out to let us know. They told us, 4 of the members are going to be in there, or 5 technically, because Bob is technically a part of the group.
Yeah, Hawkeye, he wasn't in Infinity War. He was in Endgame, but
he
might do something like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think she's going to be in it. And it's also kind of weird, because I'm like noticing, I follow the actress Olga, right? And she did a Comic-Con, and that was like her first appearance like ever doing a Comic-Con, which I was really excited for, because I'm like, I really loved her character. And that's not the original Taskmaster. In my mind, that's just Dracoff's version, because that's Dracoff's daughter. Anyways, that's not the point. What if she's not like promoting the movie, or like to like feed into like the... like the rumors of like her really not being a part of the team, or she's dying, or like, so I don't know, because like she doesn't follow any of the cast and crew, they don't follow her, director doesn't follow her, she doesn't post anything about it. So I'm like, there has to be some type of reasoning for that.
I think that I don't know about everyone else, but in my opinion, I think they should have stuck with Kang Dynasty. They should have just swapped. They should have just changed the actors.
Yeah, well, I mean, Spider-Man No Way Home tells us they can literally be any actor. Doesn't really have to be as specific. But they really kind of screwed the pooch with that end credit scene in Ant-Man. But then again, they were able to change Rhodey in Iron Man, and nobody really questioned that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting about that.
They wouldn't pay him. They would not pay him. But, I mean, I would have been fine with that. I really liked it. I really kind of thought he was scary. I did like him in Ant-Man, and I thought it was funny he got beaten by ants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was lame.
Beaten by a bunch of ants. I would have been, that would have made me crash out. I would have been done with that.
That was the last Marvel movie I saw in theaters. After that, I was just like, I've had enough.
I think, unfortunately, I would say Deadpool and Wolverine, but like, it was kind of like in the moment. I was in San Diego, like I had to type of thing. Would I see it again? No. So I'm going to say the last movie I saw willingly would be the Marvels.
Yeah, the next one, the Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts will be the next ones I will see.
Yeah, and I don't really care about Captain America 4, to be honest.
Yeah, that one was, that one was a mixed bag.
Yeah, I don't really know, and not that I don't like Thunderbolt Ross. I mean, it's just, that belongs to that actor in my mind, so it's just kind of weird for me to see that. And, like, they could have done something this whole entire time to kind of feed off of that. They didn't.
Yeah, they waited 17 years later for a follow-up for The Incredible Hulk.
He's like, oh, by the way, I'm red. And right. I'm the president now. But some other news that kind of came out, but I don't know if it's really news until they announce it or if they ever announce it. Blade has been canceled, supposedly. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not surprised. And I, like I said, Sinners, Michael B. Jordan in Sinners, that is my Blade.
I think he would be cool. Is that? I mean, they could recast. I mean, I knew when he was casted in Jurassic World, it wasn't going to happen. He's like, I got other shit to do. And y'all right. Don't want to get a story right? It's not that hard to write a story. It really isn't.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
It's just a matter of time. Well, maybe Ryan Reynolds try to take over it, like he tried to do with the last trilogy.
Oh, God.
He did. He did try to take it over. Don't sue me, Ryan, because we have no money. But, like, allegedly, he tried to take over the franchise. But he came in the last movie, right?
Yeah, and that's...
Then he tried to help his wife take some other movies, too.
I only acknowledge the first two Blade movies.
Never seen them. Don't really have a desire to, because it kind of gives me the vibe of, like, what are those movies called? The Underworld movies.
I've never seen those.
I had a vibe with them, man. I did. I think there was like one I didn't see, but like I had a vibe with them. That's what it reminded me of, because I think she is a vampire.
No, you would know better than me.
No, either she's a vampire trying to kill vampires, or she's a vampire trying to protect vampires.
Oh, well, then maybe that's a ripoff of Blade.
It's been like, you know, they've been out. Like, there's like, I don't know how many there are. I think there's like six of them. They haven't come out in a while, but it has Kate Beckinsale in it. Well, I don't know who that lady is now pretending to be Kate Beckinsale, but that's not the Kate Beckinsale. Next up, Daredevil, episode 5, 6, and 7. Episode 5 would be considered the filler episode, in my opinion, which I thought, I don't know, kind of was funny to me. Him trying to show, because Kamala's dad is in it, he tried to show him the Funko Pop of Kamala, and then he's like, why aren't you wearing green? It's like, bro's blind. He can't see. And he's like, oh, he's like, yeah, I try to wear just a normal colors. I mean, like, because obviously he can't tell if it's like a specific color.
This was
had a fun time with it, kind of. Like, it was a nice break, that episode. And then you get back into episode 6 and then episode 7. Honestly, they should have just done a Kingpin show. That would have been a dope show to watch.
I have such a headache. This show has been a massive letdown. And, oh, God. It is a massive step down from the previous Daredevil series. It's so...
It has a Disney touch, though, so...
Then that's the sad part.
The Disney touch equals bad CGI.
Which, that first episode alone pissed me off.
I just don't get it. What is, like, wouldn't it be cheaper just to, I don't know, do practical fighting effects? Or am I crazy?
That's exactly why I think...
Because they can do it. You physically can do it. These fighting movies from, like, China and Japan, like, are clearly evidence that you can.
That's why I think heroes, like crime-fighting heroes, like Batman, Daredevil, Green Arrow, you know, those heroes, they need practical and VFX. Because
Spider-Man, too.
Yeah.
More specifically, his suits. I'm sorry, but Tom Holland's my least favorite Spider-Man. It's like the suits. Like, I don't know if he really has ever worn a whole, like, practical suit. Like, I don't know, for the entire movie.
I don't, other than the one he made himself before Tony gave him, the one in Civil War, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, because I was like, they were, like, talking about, like, when they were doing that run scene in Civil War and how, like, Scarlett Johansson's character was the only one running. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is telling me that Tom Holland's Spider-Man wasn't even wearing the suit and he wasn't even there. So I'm like, what a waste of, like, resources. And you can tell, like, the downgrade and, like, practical effects, too, once we get out of Age of Ultron with, like, Tony's suit even. Like, you can tell.
Yeah.
And it's not good. And I'm like, I feel like there's a way to make those practical, but I don't think they care to, and that's sad. And I'm like, you guys can do these fighting scenes practical. Practical. But I did see that there's a lot more practical, like, suits and effects, like, for Thunderbolts, which I'm excited for, and that the actual mask that Ghost is wearing is real.
Now, I'm excited about that.
And the actual mask Taskmaster is wearing, too, so I'm excited for that.
And the marketing for the Thunderbolts have been really dope.
They should have started marketing in January, in my opinion. And, like, pushed it, like, Barbie-level push. And I think it's sad because it's not going to make as nearly as much money as it should, in my opinion.
I mean... I think I'll do better than the previous Mission Impossible, because that one came out around the same time as Barbenheimer, and in my opinion, that was the biggest mistake. I'm like, Tom, you should have pushed that movie back.
No, Tom is Tom. Let Tom be Tom. He does what he wants to do, and I respect him for that, because he is committed to his own stunts even, and he's like, what, 60 years old?
Yeah, but people were way more hyped up for the marketing around Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I think they need to keep pushing it and pushing it and shoving it in our face. Like, they are missing, like, an opportunity for, like, a Wheaties collab. But, like, you see them doing a collab with, like, Harley Davidson, and there's, like, a protein powder that they're doing a collab with from, like, the Wheaties box. Hello.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Like, you got to push that and shove that. You got to do... tie-in merch. You got to do the Pop-Tarts. You got to do the McDonald's. You got to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do, I don't know, some random stuff to, like, get people interested. And I'm still upset because I got my Funko Pops in for the Thunderbolts. They didn't release a Ghost or a Taskmaster, and that pisses me off because I'm like, where are they? I need them.
When do they come out, the Funko Pops?
I already got mine from Entertainment Earth. Shout out Entertainment Earth if you want to sponsor us, because I buy too many things from you guys.
Okay, yeah, you definitely have to send me that link now.
Yes. I got the Century, and somebody's like, can you take it out of the box? And I was like, no, I don't take stuff out of the box, like, unless I'm going to get it signed or something. But the Century one looks pretty good. And I like that they're only showing us the Void version of him, if that makes sense. Like, just black, right? And not the suit. And I think we'll only see the suit when he is, like, I don't know, himself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, right now we're just seeing the Void. And I'm very excited because it looks comic accurate, sounds comic accurate. And I was like, I don't think Steven Yeun is, like, a good fit for the role. Like, I just don't see the Vision. But then you get Bill Pullman's son, Lewis Pullman, and I'm like, I see it now.
Yeah. It also would have been nice to see Atterbury in the film, but I don't know. That would have been out of place, but it would have been interesting at the same time.
Well, I think she's like a helper to Val, and I thought Val would be like a new kind of Nick Fury kind of, or maybe she's working with the Olivia Colman's character, which is like the British version of Nick Fury. But I don't know. I thought that they were going to include Bob's wife, because like Bob's wife's the only one that can like kind of calm him down, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe there's like a, I don't know, maybe there's like a cameo or something from somebody. And ooh, one thing I also want to mention is, like, I was watching one of the TV spots for it, and Yelena calls him Bucky, and I'm like, do you know him before this? Because you just got arrested by him, so you're already calling him Bucky. Sus. I was like, watch it open up to like them at Natasha's grave or something, because she knows them.
And
your widow. I hold on to that so hard.
Speaking of which, Snow White bombs with $87 million in the box office.
The least important princess? I don't remember watching that movie as a kid. I just knew there were seven dwarves, right?
Yeah.
The queen gives her like an apple, right? And it's like poisoned.
Yeah.
And she goes to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they say they were not going to have the dwarves in the movie? And then they used CGI dwarves. So instead of hiring people, they...
Yeah. As soon as I saw that trailer, I wanted to barf.
Got it.
The CGI just looks absolutely atrocious, and it doesn't look fun when every aspect of the movie looks fake.
She got that Lord Farquaad hair.
I did. Well, great. Now that's in my head.
Lord Farquaad, and I'm like, girl, we gotta stop talking. Just act. Do your work. Promote the movie and act. Like, what are we doing here?
No, the problem is not, I mean, people were going to be mad either way, but the problem wasn't Rachel. The problem, well, I mean, I'd say 5% of it was, but.
Well, Gal's just not a good actress. That's just the bottom line of it. I don't know why she was casted in it.
Touche. And I saw a clip of her from Snow White, someone uploaded of her yelling, and I just laughed because it was just so ridiculously over the top. And even people that saw the movie said that Rachel Zegler was the only good part of it, and I definitely believe it.
Yeah, I got no desire to see that movie in any way, shape, or form. I didn't see it as a kid. I don't care to see it now. And she was like, well, it needed to be rewritten. It came out in the 30s. Okay, yeah, you're doing a remake, not a redo and change everything about it. Like, I don't understand what the issue is.
I think
Maleficent understood, and that's why they got two films. And that's why Angelina Jolie was a bomb. Like, she did so good at that role.
Looking back at it, I wasn't as upset as other people was about what she said. I thought people were taking it way too seriously. However, I do think what she said was, it sounded like a higher, like someone higher in a higher position from Disney told her to say that.
Maybe. I'm just tired of Disney. They just don't, the concept of a remake is to do it the same way. Now, if you want to redo it, then call it a reboot. So I don't understand. Like, the only one that I feel like did a really good job of it would be like Beauty and the Beast. And they like added a song or two, and I really enjoyed that.
Oh my God, you need to watch The Jungle Book. It is far superior than the original.
I do know Scarlett Johansson's in it, and Jon Favreau's in it, or he's directing it. But I'm like, I never really got into that as a kid. I don't really like the cartoon.
You'll like the live action better.
TBD if I watch it. It will be on the list eventually one day. I don't know. I just never got into it. Like, as a kid, I didn't really see the appeal to it. There's just some things I just didn't see the appeal to as a kid. And Looney Tunes would be one of them.
Which leads into the next topic, which was, is the Coyote and Acme film is finally saved. They finally found someone to license the film after it was written off as like a tax thing with Warner Brothers. I believe it's coming out next year. So yeah, I can't wait for that.
I have a confession. I've never seen Looney Tunes and I never found the appeal to it, but also my parents didn't show it to me as a kid. The only Warner Brothers thing that I remember seeing vividly would be like the Iron Giant. And yeah, I think that would be terrifying if you remade that into live action.
Technically, have you seen Bumblebee with Hailee Steinfeld?
I love that movie, but it's not the same. Iron Giant's kind of scary.
Yeah, but Bumblebee is technically, I mean, the story is kind of the same thing as the Iron Giant.
I need second one, because like, where is he from? And that upsets me, because where did he go? Did he build himself back together? Is he with his buddy now? Like, I need to know where he's from. I think he's from China, though.
I don't think
he was from space, was he?
I have to go back and rewatch it. It's been a while since I've seen that film.
Jennifer Aniston's in it, just in case you want a reminder.
Wait.
She plays the mom.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Little hidden gem for anybody who doesn't know that. I think it should be on HBO Max still. Sometimes I get the itching to watch it. It's like Anastasia. Like, sometimes I just want to watch it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I appreciate like these non-Disney studios, because like they're not like digging it into the ground. Like, they're very well could have been another Iron Giant, another Anastasia, maybe even a live action one. Even like Shrek doesn't like bury itself in the ground. Like, they understand like enough is enough, when to stop.
You sure?
I think so. I think Shrek's done a good job, in my opinion.
Well, the first two.
I like Shrek. That's a franchise that I enjoy. And I even like Puss in Boots.
I don't remember anything after the second film, and I don't want to remember anything after the second film.
I like them. I thought they were funny. That's just me, though.
And yeah, speaking. And apparently this studio that's picked up Coyote Acme is called like Ketchup Entertainment or Studios or something like that. Yeah, Ketchup Entertainment.
Okay.
Which I have never heard of them ever.
Might be a new one.
And apparently I believe it was going to go to Netflix after Warner Brothers wrote it off. But
I'm so tired of Netflix, man.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been a good idea.
No, I agree with you, because Netflix kind of buries everything into the ground, which is why I'm like really nervous for the sequel to Quentin Tarantino's the Hollywood movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I'm like, there's no Quentin Tarantino. Are you gonna have all the original actors in it? What story would you tell even?
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
No offense, but David Fincher is like a hit or a miss.
Yeah, I will say I will politely pass up on the sequel to that.
I still watch it. I don't care. I'll watch anything with Leo DiCaprio on it. Cause he's just funny. He's funny.
I mean, he is definitely one of the best actors ever, in my opinion. But
right next to Kate Winslet.
I haven't seen her in, I can't remember the last thing I seen her in.
Watch, there's a new movie that came out, and it follows this lady from World War II, and she is an American. She moves to Great Britain. She works for like the British version of Vogue, and she's a photographer. So she's trying to do photography for the war, but they won't send her into the war because, you know, it's the war and she's a woman. So she asks the Americans to put her in. So she does. And she takes a picture in Hitler's bathtub for reals. Like, it's a real picture in Hitler's bathtub in his apartment.
Is it a TV series?
No, it's a show. It's a movie. It has Andy Samberg in it. And I know what you're thinking. That's not going to work. But it does work. It does. Kate wins.
Is it called The Reader?
No. It's called Lee Miller. It's a real life person. And she is a war photographer. And you can see her photos. But yeah. After the war ends, they go to the apartment and she takes the most iconic photo. She stomps off the mud on her boots on his bathroom floor, gets in his bathtub, and takes a picture.
I think that, I'm surprised that she didn't get an Oscar nod for that, because you know how the Oscars love their war films.
I know, it got overlooked. And I think when I was watching it, it reminded me that she's probably one of the greatest living actresses ever. There's just something just about her performance that like captured me.
And her and Leo have, I want to see them together one more time because they have excellent chemistry.
Let's give them a rom-com, like a nice light movie this time.
Yeah, because I'm tired of watching them die.
Yeah, I can't do no more dying with them. He would have been perfect if they did that movie, A Mountain Between Us. Don't get me wrong, I love Idris Elba, but like he would have killed it in that movie with her. Yes, you should watch that movie too if you haven't watched it. It follows a story of them, like they need to get home, but like somehow they can't, and so they charter a plane, then it crashes, and then they survive like in the wilderness.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably gonna have to message me that because I'll probably forget it.
Yeah, it's really good. Mountain Between Us, guys. I don't remember what platform I watched on, but it's really good.
And shoot, speaking of which, Amanda Seyfried, is that how you pronounce her last name?
Seyfried.
Yes. Said no to Guardians of the Galaxy because she thought it would be Marvel's first bomb.
This is a resurgence from when she originally said she didn't want to do it because she didn't want to be green for like, I don't know, 6 months out of the year, which is completely valid. But now she's also saying that she thought it would bomb, which like when you think about the concept of the movie, not knowing anything about the movies or like Marvel in general, you're like, okay, a tree, a dancing man, a green lady, a rocket raccoon, like I can see why she said no. Right. But she's also a better actress than Zoe Saldana, so.
That's not really saying much.
I've said what I've said. Take away that Oscar now because she's not good. Speaking of Amanda Seyfried, though, I finished watching her show called Long Bright River, where she's a police officer. It's so good.
Ooh, more propaganda.
But it's like, oh my gosh, it's like plot twist after plot twist. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Is that the one that's on Netflix?
No, it's on It's on Peacock. I saw it because I was looking for her new movie that came out, and I was like, I remember that she also did a show, and I think it's a book adaptation, but she's a cop in Philly, and she works like on the street where like all the hookers are and stuff like that. So she like protects them essentially.
Right.
But like they start going missing and then they end up dead and they're like, okay, we think we have a serial killer on our hands. And then it's just so much more.
Oh yeah. I saw a little like snippet of it.
Highly recommend it.
How many episodes does it have?
I think there's only like 8.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's just a limited series. It's nothing too big. I think she's a really good actress. I think she doesn't get as much credit as she should, in my opinion.
I think she's having a resurgence.
She really is. An Oscar's coming her way one day. I don't know when, but one day it's coming. But I'm glad that she brought that up again, because I'm like, yeah, she would have been Gamora, and I think she probably would have been a better Gamora in my opinion, but that's just my opinion. But I mean, James Gunn's not the best director, to be honest.
I mean outside of the guy knows his comics, but outside of, you know, comic book films,
yeah, he don't really got that talent.
Right.
Yeah. Did you see the new I don't know if you want to call it a teaser, like new footage from Superman?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
I really loved it. I mean,
the screaming part threw me off. I'm sorry.
The what threw you off?
When he was like screaming, I was like, why is he screaming like that?
Oh, I think they could have done without, you know, the, you know, Crypto jumping all over him. But other than that, I enjoyed it. Crypto is absolutely one of the things that makes Superman Superman.
Hmm.
And the Fortress of Solitude was absolutely just gorgeous and just stunning. And it felt like I was reading a comic book.
It's weird because they said that it's going to be like Barbie level marketing. And I'm like, I have not seen that. So I don't know who they're marketing to, because it's not me. I've not seen one ad. I've not seen like any tie-in merch. So I'm like, what's happening? I think it's because Universal got that tie-in merch.
Just yeah, saying. I would like them to do, they definitely need to do some sponsorships.
They should push it out, because I think they're setting it up for failure. Because you got Fantastic Four and then you have Jurassic World. And Jurassic World's going to make $1 billion no matter what. Like, it's that's that type of franchise.
Yeah, Superman needs to, like, it needs to succeed.
I think they probably would be better if they pushed it out to, I don't know, maybe August. Like, just an additional month, you know?
I mean, I think July would be, I think July.
It's already coming out in July, though.
I think July is the, like, it seems like a pretty good month for that to come out, because it's after.
I mean, it's competing against Jurassic World and Fantastic Four.
Well, Fantastic Four, if it came out the same exact day.
It comes out the weekend after.
Because, let me check. Let's see.
Regardless, I think Fantastic Four is probably going to make nearly $1 billion, if not probably like 700 or 800 million.
I think they'll both do good, but if I were to choose, I think Fantastic Four will ultimately end up doing better than Superman.
Yeah, I don't see Superman doing that good. Just in my opinion, maybe they'll make half a million. Oh my gosh, 500 million. But that's about it. I don't see it making $1 billion. It's just like fans showing up is like different than the fans online, if that makes sense. Fans are very loud online, but do they actually show up?
Yeah, that's true. Because usually the ones that complain the most are usually the ones that still go to see those.
And the ones, yeah, The loudest ones don't show up. We'll see how it goes. But
I do think it'll get its money back. But yeah, ultimately, yeah, I think Fantastic Four will be the best out of the month between those three films.
It also could have probably done good as like a Thanksgiving film. Mix it up, you know, throw a superhero film in there. People enjoy that.
Yeah.
That's just me, though. But yeah, that was a lot of news this week or the last 2 weeks. I'm excited for it.
Oh, and I was just thinking about this because I just saw an article on this maybe like last week, and it was a list of movies, like really good movies with terrible messaging in it. So my question is, what's a movie you enjoy that had a terrible message in it?
I think all the Sex and the City movies, they just piss me off. It's like it's supposed to be about love, right? And just like friendship, but like literally she like Carrie's the worst friend.
Yeah.
She'd really go like, yeah, big is more important than you. Oh, and I know that he's married, but I'm going to be the mistress anyways. Like, girl, he doesn't want you. And he didn't want you, but you don't want him. And you cheated on him. Don't even get me started. Because then I got all pissed off by it. Samantha's the best friend.
That is absolutely crazy.
It just pisses me off. And I feel like a lot of women might agree is that, like, Carrie's probably the worst friend out of the entire group. And I think Samantha and Charlotte's the better friend. Because, like, Charlotte was, like, always the peacemaker and the kind person. And, like, Carrie did not deserve her kindness.
Let it out.
That's just my opinion on that. What other movies with terrible messaging?
Have you seen Sleepless in Seattle?
That movie pisses me off. It makes sense.
I like the movie. Don't get me. I love Tom Hanks. However, Meg Ryan played a stalker. She was in a whole other relationship with a man that she didn't love, and she's going to give it all up for Tom Hanks' character just because she felt bad for him for losing his wife, and she never even met the dude.
Yeah, that movie pisses me off. I don't like it because, like, who's letting their kid just go to fly by themselves? That's all I'm saying. The supreme Meg Ryan rom-com would always be When Harry Met Sally, in my opinion.
That one was phenomenal.
I will always remember that one. I mean, I don't know. I think I probably would have ghosted him. I think he probably would have irritated me at some point.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. Like, what situationship do we got going on? I don't understand.
And I don't know if this one counts, but Revolutionary Road with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, they are both terrible people. That was a very toxic marriage. And that just shows, I think that movie does like a good job at showing like just because like the damages of being in a relationship that you're never proud to be in, but you don't want to leave.
Kind of reminds me of The Breakup. It pisses me off, that ending, all the time. And it's never
about heard of that. What is that?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I can't believe you've never seen it. It's not as toxic. It has Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn in it, and they're dating. And I don't know, she asked for three lemons. You'll get it once you see it. She asked for three lemons. He doesn't bring it to her. He doesn't understand like why she wanted 12 lemons. And it's not about the lemons. It was never about the lemons. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but the ending makes me upset because like you would think they'd get back together, but they don't. So I just spoiled it for you.
Oh, and I also just thought of this too. You've seen The Devil Wears Prada, right?
Correct.
I love that movie. Mm. All the performances are great, but Anne Hathaway's character quitting her job for her loser boyfriend, who just stays at the house cooking a burnt grilled cheese and gaslighting her.
He doesn't respect her, man. That's the problem. He never respected her. Her friends never respected her.
They didn't. Her friends didn't have a problem when she was by, when she gave them, you know, luxury gifts.
Exactly, exactly. But when she started getting closer to her year mark, like, you're coming to New York. You know what you got to do to survive, right? She understood it and she was willing to make that sacrifice. But, like, all her friends were already where they kind of wanted to be, but, like, she wasn't. And, like, what she wanted was a harder type of thing to procure. And they didn't respect her for it. I wouldn't have gone back to him or moved to Boston or been friends with my friends again, because that tells you who your real friends are.
Right. I think the boyfriend should have apologized to her. He should have been like, look, babe, I'm sorry. I was a jealous piece of S word.
Exactly. And
yeah.
And was he even really a chef, or was he like a sous chef? Like, come on.
I don't think a chef would make a burnt grilled cheese sandwich.
Move from New York to Boston. BFR. I'm not doing that. I'm here because I want to be here. That's the whole purpose of me going there.
Right.
Because, like, there's nowhere else to go but down if you move from New York, in my opinion.
And so I think he was just, I think he was just jealous because
they were upset because she changed her image too. Because, like, she grew, she learned, she was like, oh, this is what fashion's like. Oh, this is what it means to be doing such and such, and what it means to put in hard work. And he should have known. But he probably didn't work a day in his life other than burning grilled cheese. Pissing me off every time. Aren't they making a sequel?
If that is true, I don't want to see it.
I'll be watching it. Well, it's based on the movies. And their original cast is going to be in it. So I'm signing up for it.
I would like to see a trailer first. And if they are together in the sequel, then I will pass.
Well, if they're together in the movie.
I mean,
I'm not the movie, the book.
Yeah, but they need. Yeah, I don't want to see that terrible boyfriend near her again.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of terrible, did you see the Master List or the Material List trailer?
No.
Pedro Pascal, Dakota Johnson, Chris Evans. Oh,
yes. Yeah, I did see that.
Who's picking crusty, dusty Chris over Pedro, billionaire old Pascal, man? I don't think Pedro's, like, technically a hot dude. Like, he's not hot. I'm not going to, like, fawn over him. But, like, picking him over Chris Evans, yes, I will. Because I don't know what Chris Evans is doing with his hair, but it's not working. And you're going to leave this billionaire for a dude that lives with, like, 10 roommates and is, like, basically, like, one of those wedding singer type of, you know what I mean? Like, how he's, like, serving the food. Like, that's what it reminds me of. Like, he's just going from wedding to wedding.
Right.
Like, I don't get it. Spoiler. I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. Watch there be, like, a plot twist of, like, one of them doesn't even exist. Like, Chris Evans' character doesn't exist.
I don't know.
Plot twist. Both of them don't exist. Plot twist. She's actually dead. And in.
Wow. That's dark.
Well, it's a Celine Strong. So, like, I don't really think she would just, like, go with a rom-com. Like, it seems so predictable who she's going to pick.
She's
going to pick Chris Evans' character. That's what I think is going to happen.
From the trailer, I don't know what kind of dude he's playing, but.
And he's just a loser. Is what it looks like. He's a loser that lives with roommates and goes from wedding to wedding being a server.
It just seems like.
Well, clearly, I'm like, okay, well, maybe one of them doesn't even exist. Because, like, when I watch one of the sequences from the trailer and he was like, well, what are you drinking? And she goes, like, rum and coke or something like that. And he's right there right away handing it to her and she gives him a hug. And I was like, that is really weird. Like, something about that scene is weird to me. Like, someone doesn't exist, or it's a dream.
I didn't even think about that. And I might have to rewatch the trailer now, just because you put it in my head. Because,
like, they make it seem like it's a rom-com, but I don't think it's a rom-com. I think one of them probably doesn't exist. And like that whole scene made me think about them. Like, okay, well, why is he right there right away? And how does he remember her name? And he's like, yo, you don't even remember me. You probably don't even remember his face or something like that. And she holds up the cigarette towards his face. And one thing he says, he goes, I see wrinkles in children that look like you. And I was like, okay. First off, Chris Evans got an acting coach. Second off, he's like, they're like at other places and different weddings and venues and events and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, maybe she's having a hard time coming to grips with him. And maybe that's a love that she actually really for real lost.
I was thinking that was going to be one of my theories when you first brought that up. I was thinking maybe he's an ex of hers that passed on into another life and his presence is still like around her.
Or hear me out. So she's already with the billionaire, right? What if she gets into an accident? She's in a coma, but she was already kind of having these doubts and stuff. And he's like there in her dream. And then when she wakes up, she realizes what she really wants. And it's kind of like How to Be Single type of situation. And I don't know why he's trying to chase her away from like this dude who's like, looks like he's very perfect. Something is not right. Some type of plot twist, some situation is going to happen, and one of them is not going to exist.
I do know that this movie seems like a win for all three actors, and Pedro doesn't need it as much as the other two.
Yeah, I agree. I think this might be helpful for Dakota and Chris to get like their acting out, if that makes sense, because like you're going to have an Oscar worthy director and writer, so like yeah, that's what you need to do. But yeah, I think one of them's dead. It's probably Chris Evans' character, because like her just picking this loser man doesn't have, I don't know, any prospects in his future life, has no money. And like that is not like it doesn't matter, but like you want somebody who wants to have goals and prospects and wants to do something more with their life, you know?
Yeah.
And then you got Pedro Pascal, who's like a billionaire. So I'm like, okay. I think she chooses him at the end. I think it's not as predictable as we think it is, unless it is, and it really is just a rom-com and we're overthinking it.
I'm not gonna let that theory slide. I'm going to keep it in the back of my mind.
Yeah, it's going to be predominant in my mind just because of that one sequence in the trailer. Because like that doesn't make any, that whole sequence did not make sense to me. I was like, how do you remember her name? Are you stalking her? How did you get that order already? How did he know that order already? Unless Pedro Pascal's character already knew her.
Right.
Or unless he's stalking her too. I don't know. Yeah, it's a lot to think about. And we'll let you guys marinate on that for the week or until the movie comes out or we talk about it again. But that is episode 26 of The Midcasters. I'm your co-host, Jalen. And as always, you can find me at Twitter, Letterboxd, TikTok, Instagram, and on the website at midcasters.com. And Craig, where can they find you?
On all socials, CraigDream97, and YouTube. It's all nerd everything.
Awesome. And that was episode 26. Again, I'm your co-host, Jalen, joined by the always amazing Craig. And we'll see you next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Well, enjoy the rest of your week.
I am Optimus
Prime. When I came to you with those calculations, we thought we might start a chain reaction that would destroy the entire world?
I remember it well. What of it?
I believe we did.